Well, good morning to you all. I'm going to invite you to turn in your Bible to Proverbs chapter 27. We're going to read a verse there to get our study going in just one moment. Proverbs chapter 27, we'll be reading there. And while you're turning there, I'd just like to say thank you so much for being here. Every Sunday is a special day. It's the day that we remember the death and the sacrifice of our great Lord and his resurrection from the dead, which gives us life and proves to us that he can give us eternal life. But this Sunday is extra special because this Sunday is our Invite a Friend Sunday here at the Temple Terrace Church of Christ. It's a time when we try to make a special effort to talk to those that we love, talk to those that we know, friends and neighbors and the people that cut our hair or check out our groceries, and we try to invite them to come and see what we're all about here. And so if you're one of those visitors, we're especially grateful that you're here. We're blessed by your presence. And if you have any questions about what we do here or what we believe here, we invite you to ask. We have nothing to hide, and we'd love to let you know what we believe and why we believe it and why we stand firm on the Bible and our belief in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1, the Bible says this. It says, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth." To boast about something means that you're proud of it. It means that you have confidence in it. And I think all of us know what that feels like to some degree. We know what it feels like to be proud of something or to be confident in something, don't we? Some people are really confident in how smart they are. You've met people like that, haven't you? I remember one time I met a guy. The first thing I learned about him was his name. The second thing I learned about him was his IQ. It was, "Hi, my name is Steve," whatever his name was. "My IQ is 152. It literally went just like that. It was unbelievable. But some people, they really take confidence in that. Some people really boast in their athletic ability. They're really strong or really fit or really agile, and they're really proud of that. Some people boast in their good looks, and it's not hard to tell. Just look at their social media profiles. You'll know who those people are. We boast in all sorts of different things. And maybe you listen to all that and you say, "Look, Jonathan, I know that I'm dumb and ugly and uncoordinated. I don't boast in anything." I'm sure that's not true. But while you may not boast or take confidence in those things, the truth is there are some things that we all kind of do take confidence in. And Solomon mentions something here in Proverbs chapter 27 that all of us do boast in to a degree. It's one thing that we ought to never boast in, never take confidence in, and yet it's one thing that many of us often do. Solomon says, don't boast about tomorrow. That means don't have confidence in tomorrow. Don't have confidence in the plans that you've made for tomorrow. In other words, he's saying, don't assume that you know what's going to happen tomorrow. And the reason he says that is because you don't know. You don't know what a day may bring forth. You have no idea what tomorrow holds for you. Do you realize that? Do you understand that? I think all of us do to a degree. We don't like to think about it, but it's true. We make all kinds of plans for tomorrow, don't we? We have all kinds of ideas about what tomorrow is going to look like for us, and yet we know at the end of the day, none of those things are really guaranteed. You have a plan for tomorrow. You're going to get up before work, and you're going to get that workout in. Actually, never mind. None of us are really going to do that, right? Or you assume that you're going to go to work, and when you go to work, everything's going to go the way you planned it, right? You're going to get the projects done. You're going to see the people. You're going to have that lunch. You're going to have that meeting. You have plans for tomorrow. You assume that when you leave work, your car's not going to break down. You're not going to get in a wreck, and you're going to get home. And when you get home, you're going to have dinner with your family, maybe in front of the TV watching football, maybe around the table with everybody gathered together. Maybe you eat dinner out. You've got your plans for tomorrow. But you don't know what's going to happen, do you? You don't know if your kid's going to get sick and you're going to end up in the ER. You don't know if your car is going to break down or you're going to get in a wreck. You don't know if the restaurant that you wanted to go to is going to get closed or going to take 3 hours to get you your food. You've got your plans for tomorrow, but who knows? Who knows what a day may bring forth? And so Solomon says, don't boast about tomorrow. Because at the end of the day, none of the plans that you have for tomorrow are guaranteed. In fact, life itself for you tomorrow is not guaranteed. Life can change in an instant. Now, typically, I'll be honest with you. Whenever a preacher gets up and he begins to talk about not having confidence in tomorrow, that sermon usually is going to go on to talk about the judgment day, right? That's usually a fitting beginning to a sermon about the judgment day. You don't know about tomorrow. You don't know. The Lord may come tomorrow, and you need to be ready for him. Matthew chapter 25, verse 13, what's he say? Be on the alert, for you do not know the day nor the hour. And so because we don't know when Jesus is going to come back, we need to make sure that we're always prepared for him to return. The truth is that in the next 30 seconds, God could rip open the heavens and usher in the judgment day, and none of the stuff that I have planned to say on those pages of paper are going to be worth anything, because life will be over and eternity will be here. You never know what tomorrow is going to bring. You don't even know if you're going to get a tomorrow. And so you need to be ready, always prepared for the Lord to return. Now, that's a valid point, and that's an important point that we need to make. And I encourage you this morning, if you're sitting here and you are not seeking God, or you're on the fence about whether or not you're going to seek God, and you're not sure if you want to do what you need to do, if you're kind of wanting to procrastinate about getting your life right with God, I encourage you to fix that right now. You need to do something about that today, because the truth is, tomorrow is not guaranteed for you. That's a valid point, and it's something we need to say. But that's not really the point that I want to make with our lesson this morning. Because assuming that we know that tomorrow is going to happen is not the only mistake that we make when it comes to tomorrow. There are two huge mistakes that humans typically make when we think about tomorrow, when we think about the future. The first one is what we've already talked about. Sometimes we are too confident about what we've got planned. We have our plans, we have our ideas, and we think that they're guaranteed, and we assume that it's going to happen the way we expect it to happen. That's a mistake that we make. But there are other times when we make this mistake. Sometimes we're too confident that our problems cannot be fixed. Sometimes we are too confident that our lives are not going to get better. Sometimes we are too confident that things will not change for me. This morning, I want to think about what Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 27, the idea that don't boast in tomorrow. Don't think you know what's going to happen tomorrow. Don't have confidence in tomorrow because you don't know what a day is going to bring forth. And I want to submit to you this morning that because you never know what's going to happen tomorrow, that means that you need to make sure that in your spiritual life, you never, ever, ever give up. That's one thing that we learn when we consider the life of Judas Iscariot. I want you to travel with me to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. If you're visiting with us, if you don't have a Bible, if you want to grab that Bible in the pew in front of you, that's page 570 in that little pew Bible there. And I want us to think for a little bit about the life of Judas, about one of the greatest villains in the Bible. And I wonder, if I asked you this question, I wonder what you would say. What is the greatest mistake that Judas ever made? What's the greatest mistake that Judas ever made? I imagine that many people would instantly say, well, Judas's greatest mistake was betraying Jesus. And I got to tell you this morning, that's incorrect. That is not the greatest mistake that Judas ever made. And you may say, oh, you're right, Jonathan. Let's go back in the past a little bit more than that. His greatest mistake was letting greediness fill his heart, because that's what ended up leading him to betray Jesus at the end of the day. And no, that's wrong too. That's not the greatest mistake Judas ever made. The greatest mistake Judas ever made was choosing to give up. We know the story of Judas very well. Judas was one of Jesus' closest friends, but as we know, he let greediness fill his heart, and he let that love of money fester inside of his soul. And even though he was somebody who went out preaching the gospel, even though he was somebody who saw the miracles of Jesus, even though he was probably somebody who worked a few miracles himself through the power of Jesus, he didn't listen to the teaching of Jesus, like what Jesus said in Matthew 12 and verse 35, when he said, "The good man brings out of the good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil." He didn't listen when Jesus said, "Whatever you fill your heart with, that's going to come out in your actions." And Judas filled his heart with greed, with the love of money. And because of his greed, he agrees with the religious leaders to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And on that fateful night, you know what happens. Judas goes to supper with Jesus and the rest of the apostles. Jesus washes his feet and they partake the Last Supper together. And then Judas gets up from supper. He gathers a cadre of soldiers. He leads them to the Garden of Gethsemane in the dead of the night. They carry torches and weapons and lanterns. And when they find Jesus, Judas betrays him with a poisonous kiss on the cheek. In Matthew chapter 27, after all of that goes down, we see the morning come. And in the morning, we see Judas, who is completely horrified by what he's done the night before. Matthew 27, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says this: "Now when morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people conferred together against Jesus to put him to death. And they bound him and led him away and delivered him to Pilate the governor. Then when Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that he had been condemned, he felt remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, 'I have sinned by betraying innocent blood.' But they said, 'What is that to us? See to that yourself.'" And so what we see in Judas is the next morning, he's horrified by what he's done. He brings back all of the money that they had given him, and he wants to do everything he can to undo what he'd done the night before. He pulls out all the stops, and he realizes it's not going to work. He is powerless to reverse the outcome of the events that he set in motion. And in that moment, what Judas does is he makes his enormous mistake. Yes, he let greed fill his heart. And yes, he betrayed Jesus to them for 30 pieces of silver. And yes, he did that awful thing by betraying Jesus with a kiss on the cheek. But that's not as bad as this. Because in this moment, Judas decides to give up. He makes an awful miscalculation, because he assumes that he knows what tomorrow will bring. He assumes he knows what tomorrow is going to look like, and what the next day is going to look like, and what the rest of his life is going to look like. He assumes that he knows what tomorrow will bring. There are several things that he believes about his life now that he's done this. Judas believes that there's no forgiving what he's done. There's no way he can make this right. There's no way anybody would ever forgive him. There's no way he can earn redemption from God because he's done something so awful. He also believes that Jesus' story is over forever. He was the Messiah. He was the guy that was supposed to save Israel. He was the guy who's supposed to bring salvation, isn't he? And it's my fault he's dead. Judas believes that what he's done can't be made right. Judas believes that at the end of the day, there's just no hope for him. Judas does what Solomon tells us to never do. Don't boast about tomorrow. Don't think that you know what tomorrow is going to look like, because you don't know what a day may bring. And yet in Matthew 27 verse 5, we read that Judas thinks he does. And so then he does this, verse 5. "And he threw the pieces of silver into the temple sanctuary and departed. And he went away and he hanged himself." Whenever I read the story of Judas, all I can think about, the question that's front of my mind is this. What happened? What might have happened if Judas simply waited 3 days? What if he didn't give up? What if he didn't choose to throw in the towel? What if he didn't tell himself and convince himself that he knew what was going to happen tomorrow? What if he just waited for 3 days? Because in 3 days, everything is going to change forever, not just for Judas, but for the entire world. Jesus will rise from the dead. And what's he going to realize? Well, he's going to realize that everything that he thought he knew isn't true. In 3 days, Judas will learn that forgiveness is available, even for this terrible sin that he committed. In 3 days, Judas is going to learn that Jesus' story is not over, not by a long shot. In 3 days, Judas will learn that he can make this right. In 3 days, Judas will learn that there's still hope for Judas. And yet, he never learns that because he doesn't wait. He chooses instead to give up. So when we look at the story of Judas and we look at what happens here, when we look at his greatest mistake, it teaches us something so important. Don't boast about tomorrow. Don't assume that you know what's going to happen because you don't know what a day may bring. You don't know what 3 days may bring. You don't know how life is going to change, how this world is going to change. You don't know what God's going to do. So never give up. Never throw in the towel. You know, in the Gospels, we get all these really cool stories after the crucifixion, after the resurrection, all these really cool stories about the apostles, Jesus' disciples, his followers, and their reunions with Jesus. And so you have that story where Peter and John, they hear about the empty tomb, and so they want to know about it, and so they have a foot race to the empty tomb to see what's going on. And for some reason, the Holy Spirit decides to tell us who won, which I find interesting, and I'm not sure why it's there, but it does. And then they walk into the tomb, and they see it, and the Bible says they were filled with belief. It's an amazing story. That could have been a foot race of three instead of two. And then you have this story of Thomas. He wasn't with the 10 when they first saw Jesus after he had risen. And so when they tell Thomas about it, Thomas says, I'm not going to believe unless I can put my fingers in the holes and put my hand in his side. And then one day they're all together and Jesus appears and Thomas is able to do that and he believes. It's an amazing reunion story. And then you have my favorite one of all. You have Mary who comes to the tomb. And she still doesn't believe that Jesus is risen, and she's sitting there weeping in the garden, and she's talking to somebody that she thinks is a gardener. And she turns around and realizes that it's Jesus, and she holds on tight to him. Can you imagine what a reunion with Judas would have looked like? Can you imagine how special that would have been? Can you imagine what Jesus would have said to him? How incredible would that have been? For Judas to know and Judas to realize that the Lord he had betrayed still had forgiveness available for him. All he has to do is wait 3 days. But instead he gives up. To be honest, when I read the story of Judas, it reminds me of me. Doesn't it remind you of you? You know, we can villainize the guy all we want, but all of us have been guilty of making the same mistake, not of betraying the Lord or of betraying somebody with a kiss, but we made the same mistake of thinking that we know what tomorrow is going to look like, of thinking that we know what the rest of our life is going to look like, of thinking, being too confident that our problems can't be fixed or adjusted or changed by the power of God. Too often we do the same thing that he did. We look at the current difficulties in our life and we say, there's no way that can get better. It's always going to be bad. It can't be fixed. We look at our broken relationships, maybe with your parents, or maybe with your brother or sister, or maybe with your brother and sister in Christ, or maybe with your spouse. Maybe it's a broken marriage that's going on, and we think to ourselves, that can't improve, that can't get better. It's always going to be like this. We look at the mistreatment that we're receiving right now, the way we're being persecuted by somebody in our lives, and we say, they're always going to do that. This can't change. This can't get better. Or maybe it's more spiritual than that. Maybe what we do is we look at our past sins, we look at the things that we've done, the way that we've messed up, the evil things that we've done in this world, and we say, God would never forgive that. Maybe I look at my current lifestyle, the way that I'm kind of engrossed in sin, the things that I'm addicted to, the things that have their hooks in me, and I tell myself, I can't change. That's never going to get fixed. That's always going to be the way that it's always been, and I just can't see a way forward. I can't see that ever being different than it is. We look at our relationship to God and the church, and we think, I'll never get there. I'll never be one of those religious people. I'll never be one of those church-going people. That's for other people. That's not for somebody like me. We tell ourselves all the time, we let the devil tell us all the time that we know what tomorrow holds, that things aren't going to change, things can't change, things can't be fixed, things can't get better. And the devil tells us exactly the same thing he told Judas. Give up. You're wasting your time. You're right. It's not going to get better. Your life will never get better. Your relationships will never get fixed. So divorce your spouse. Cut off your parents. Be done with that relationship. Get that person out of your life because it's never going to change. It's never going to get better. He says, you're not one of those spiritual people. That's right. That's for other people. It's not for you. Stop trying to seek God. Because those church-going people, they're not like you. That's what he tells you. He says, you'll never be close to God. Your sins are too great. The distance between you and God is far too big. And you'll never be able to make up that ground. Just forget him and forget religion and find happiness somewhere else. Give up. Or maybe perhaps he tells you exactly the same thing that he told Judas. And he tells you, you need to give up on life entirely. You need to remember that that's the same voice, that's the same message that Judas heard. And when you hear that message, you need to remember his story. You need to remember what might have been if he'd only waited for 3 days. And you need to remember who God is. You need to remember that he's the kind of God, that the God who exists is the kind of God who can change everything about the world in just 3 days. In fact, he's the kind of God who can change the world in an instant. We read in Ephesians 3 and verse 20, just a simple verse. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think according to the power that works within us. We serve a God who is able to do far more than we can even conceive that he can do. And sometimes we think he can do so little, but he can do so much. He can change the world in a moment. And so don't boast in tomorrow. Don't think you know what's going to happen. Don't give up. Because you don't know what God's going to bring into your life tomorrow. You don't know what he's going to change tomorrow. You don't know what he's going to fix tomorrow. You don't understand just how powerful he is. And we probably don't understand just how much he loves us too. You never know. You never know what a day may bring, and so don't give up. That's not just the story of Judas, and that's not just the story of the New Testament. That's the story of the Old Testament too. You never know. You never know what kind of protection God is going to bring into your life. You never know what he might do. Did Daniel know that God was going to come and shut the mouths of the lions? He had no idea God was going to do that. No angel came to him and said, hey, you're going to get thrown in the lion's den, but don't worry, God's going to sew their mouths shut. They can't hurt you. No one told him that. But God did something in that lion's den. You never know what kind of wonderful blessing God is going to bring into your life either. Think about Mary, the mother of Jesus. Did she know that an angel was going to come to her one day and say, hey, you're going to have the Son of God. You're going to be his mom. She didn't know that. And yet her life changed in an instant. You never know how God might fill you with strength. You never know what kind of protection God's going to give you. You never know what kind of blessing he's going to bring into your life. You never know what he's going to change or fix or adjust for you. And so don't give up. Because you don't know what tomorrow may bring. Now, I do want to make this very clear. That I'm not promising that God is going to change your life in a day. I think that's probably important for me to say. I'm not saying that if you're good enough and if you pray enough and if you believe enough, then tomorrow everything's going to be better. I'm not saying that. I don't think I can say that. I'm not saying that October 24th is going to be some kind of special day. It'll be special for me because it's my anniversary, but not for you, not for you. I can't guarantee that God will change everything tomorrow, but what I can promise you is that he's able to change everything tomorrow. And for that reason, that's reason enough to never give up, to never throw in the towel, to never stop seeking him or serving him, to never give up. I hope that you'll remember the lesson of Judas. No matter what you're going through, you'll remember to never give up. Because you don't know what tomorrow may bring. You don't know what God may do. You don't know what he might change in your life. Never give up, because we serve a God who can change the world in an instant. Maybe the best example of that is found when we consider the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. Will you go to the book of Acts with me? You know, there is one thing that we absolutely can guarantee. One thing that's been promised to us. One thing that we know can change in an instant. And that is, in an instant, in a moment, God can change your eternal destiny. That's what the Bible teaches us. And I don't know what God may do for your relationships, or what he may do for your hardships, or what he may do for anything in your life, but I do know this. I know that God, if you listen to what he says in his word, can change everything about your eternity in just one moment. That's what the Bible teaches us. In Acts chapter 2, Peter is talking to a crowd of people on the day of Pentecost. And this is the crowd of people who just a little bit before had been guilty of crucifying and murdering Jesus, the Son of God. And by the end of the chapter, or getting close to the end of the chapter, he says this in verse 36, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." He tells them the worst news they've ever heard. Guess what? You killed God. And so it's no surprise that they answer in verse 37, "Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart. And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brethren, what shall we do?'" What shall we do? You know, because we live 2,000 years later, we get the benefit of hindsight. We get the benefit of the rest of the scriptures. We get the benefit of hearing since we are 3 years old that there's salvation in Jesus Christ for any and every sin. They didn't know that. I want you to appreciate that there probably were people there who said this in verse 37, "What shall we do?" who expected to hear from the apostle, "There's nothing you can do. God can't forgive that." And yet Peter says, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." That's the promise. To the people who are guilty of murdering Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Peter says, guess what? God can change your life right here, right now, this day, this instant. And what you need to do is repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and your life will change immediately. And so, brothers and sisters, you never know what a day may bring. But if you listen to what the Bible says and you obey that command in Acts chapter 2, then you know what that will bring. You'll have salvation. Your life will be changed forever. Every sin that you've committed, no matter what it is, no matter how unforgivable you think it is, no matter how far you think you are from God, all of that changes in an instant. When we're baptized into the name of Jesus, we're forgiven of our sins. We receive absolution. We are reconciled to God. We finally have that hope of heaven. Everything changes in just a moment. And so don't ever give up, because you serve the kind of God who can change everything about your life in just a moment. If you need our help in any way, that's why we're here. We're a family of believers here at the Temple Terrace Church of Christ who are doing our best to help others find Jesus and to go to heaven when they die. If you need help finding him, if you need help seeking him, if you have questions about what God wants from you, then we're here to help you. Or if you're sitting here this morning and you know what you need to do, you know that you are far from God and you have sins and you think they're unforgivable, but you've heard what Peter said in Acts 2, and you're ready to be reconciled with God and to be brought back and have everything about your life change, then we can help you be baptized this morning to have those sins washed away by the power of the blood of Jesus right now. And if we can help you do that or anything else, please come to the front and we'll help you while we stand and while we sing.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing blood?